item number one is from the Director, Department of Health and Human Services, submitting an informational report regarding HUD requirements on CDBG funds. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Just going to give a brief overview of the report that we have submitted. Milwaukee County has been administering the HUD CDBG program since 1981. In 1995, HUD required that the county ensure that all of our projects meet the national objective, that projects benefit the Milwaukee County Urban Consortium, which would exclude the city of Milwaukee, West Dallas, and Wauwatosa, because they have their own CDBG allocations, and that we fund projects in areas of low and moderate income, and that we ensure that we have the sufficient documentation to meet the HUD's requirements. In 2011, HUD began to more closely look at our program, and there appeared to be some concerns that maybe we were supporting some nonprofit organizations that could not demonstrate that there was a primary benefit to the surrounding municipalities. There was also some concerns that maybe we were awarding projects that didn't meet the low and moderate income requirements from HUD. Then, shortly after HUD addressed some of those concerns, last year, October, the department asked for a legal opinion from Corporation Counsel regarding the jurisdictional issue, and our legal counsel at the time thought that we were acting within the parameters of HUD's rules. When that opinion came to HUD, they got a legal opinion from DC, which in turn said that we were wrong and that the way they are interpreting the rules is the way the rules should be administered. So 2011, now we're in 2011, and along with that opinion from DC, they told us that for 2011, they want us to provide proof in our documentation to show that all of 2011 projects meet their rules and regulations. So we're in the process of getting documentation from all the organizations that have received grants last year. We don't know if there could be some ineligible projects within that mix. Damon Dorsey is reaching out to the organizations and the municipalities to get that information. But I just want to mention that there could be a liability to the county if we can't prove through that documentation that it meets HUD's guidelines. So we'd like to come back in March and kind of give you an update on where we're at with that potential liability if we have one. Moving forward, so here we are, 2012. We'd like to suggest a few things moving forward. One, we'd like to have informational sessions with all of the grantees that apply for a grant and the municipalities to clearly help them understand the rules of HUD, so that you'll see in your packets that you've got eligible projects that we feel meet the national objectives and non-eligible projects. We'd like to make sure that for the eligible projects, all those entities that are on there would understand that they would have to provide us with documentation to ensure that they're meeting the rules and regulations of HUD. We think that's very important because we want to make sure that all of those awarded understand these rules. Then we'd also like to give, now there's some that are ineligible, we'd also like to give them the opportunity to educate them if they didn't understand the rules and regs before, they understand them now, and if they could show that they can benefit the primary surrounding suburbs, we'd like to give them an opportunity to resubmit their proposals to give them a shot during this cycle. Then we'd also like to extend a two-month ask for a two-month extension from HUD just so that we can go through this process before submitting our annual plan, make sure that the board is in agreement, the department's in agreement, we submit it to HUD. And I've already talked to them about this, and they're willing to be flexible with us on this. And then also, we would suggest that we establish a review panel. So once we have these meetings, staff will provide you all with a list of eligible projects, and then we would suggest that we have two members from our staff, Damon Dorsey and another person that understands the HUD rules, and then I would ask Madam Chair if there's two people that you would like to select, maybe yourself and somebody else from the board that could also participate in that process. Next year, we'd like to work on providing the committee with some recommendations on how we might move forward and involve more people in that review panel. But for the purposes of this one, I would suggest that maybe we handle it internally, but we would like to provide some recommendations on how we might want to move forward, which obviously would involve the department and the county board. Then we would like to suggest to have a meeting in March to pretty much approve the projects that meet the requirements of HUD. And then per HUD's guidelines, we'd like to post the projects that are going to be receiving the grants on our website for 30 days. And then we would submit our annual plan to HUD and then begin to award contracts as been approved by the County Board of County Executive.
One of the reasons this item is on, if you remember kind of the normal timeline, normally we approve these projects in November, sometimes in December, et cetera. But because Milwaukee County was working with attempting to get HUD to go back to its earlier interpretation of what are eligible projects, the whole thing got delayed. And as Mr. Colonna has said, the county is not intending to unfund anyone who was approved in 2011. It's more how do you go forward from here and help educate the agencies that have submitted in the past as well as other agencies who may have never submitted for whatever reasons. And I think the biggest difference between we summed up the county's previous philosophy, which was we send the CDBG funds where the need is the greatest. Historically, we've spent most of our funds within agencies within the city of Milwaukee, and it wasn't absolute. First of all, that's where we got most of the applications, but that now will absolutely be flipped on its side and flipped over because of the new HUD regulations. So it'll be a learning process, and all the agencies that at least if staff initially looked at as not eligible, they're being notified and given a chance to try and maybe redo their application or relook at whether or not they can show that they're eligible, which is why there's not a vote today on the projects, because we wanted to give them that chance. That's why it's in March. I think in the idea of that review committee, I think that's a good idea, although I think what would be better, rather than having a supervisor or two on that, it probably should be county board staff so that you don't have an individual supervisor or two having a leg up in selecting projects. It'll get a little dicey, and I think it's better to have the process where it's administrative and county board review staff kind of coming together and recommending, and then the committee, everyone having kind of a fair chance on the committee and then the board if there's a problem or if they'd like to rearrange something. So, but I think that's a good idea. So next cycle, there'll be the public hearing and all of the recommended projects for review and approval, and then hopefully HUD will approve our plan. The other thing that's so bizarre in all this is, unless you tell me differently from what I understand, HUD's always approved our plans. So our plans have always been approved, but now we're in jeopardy of having to have, or now we have to completely change how we do things. So
that is true that they've always approved our plans under the assumption we're following the rules and guidelines. The thing that has changed is that they haven't really looked at the documentation for us to prove that those projects met their guidelines. But because, you know, there's the legal opinion from us and the discussions that have come back and forth over the last several months, they've begun to take a little closer look at our program now and are now requiring that documentation.
And I know that they're doing this nationwide. This is not just selecting Milwaukee County, but apparently there's new staff coming in. They're reinterpreting things, and I think there'll be a greater opportunity potentially for some of the suburban communities to work more closely together and to work closely with the county. But it is a big sea change, especially for supervisors who, you know, are using, well, not just the supervisors, but agencies who have always applied in the past, and the only ones that really will know about it right now are the ones who currently have an application in. So it may take a few years for everybody to become educated on it, because the big losers in this are agencies that primarily work within the city of Milwaukee and have primarily, or most of their clients are within the city. Even the county parks department is a loser, because parks that are particularly, even though our philosophy, and we are checking further on this, because I've spoken to Mr. Both of these gentlemen about this, that all parks are open to all county residents. So from the county's perspective, it's a county-wide park. But the reality is a lot of parks people tend to go to much more locally, and projects that were considered eligible before, such as fixing a baseball diamond, are no longer considered eligible, particularly if it's a city of Milwaukee park that doesn't have a suburban municipality right around it. So I'm hoping that I've asked that there be further discussions about that, given that all of our parks are open to everyone. We can't take attendance and take residency or anything like that, but hopefully there'd be more flexibility there. Any questions? Supervisor Roman West.
I just had a really quick question in regards to the project that was deemed ineligible and how the process transpired. Right off, and it just happens to be in my district, but right off the top of my head, I'm scrolling down and I saw Walker Spring Center for the Arts, and it says primarily serves the city of Milwaukee. I would strongly disagree with that. I don't think they primarily serve any one specific resident of any one specific area, and I think those people that are familiar with Walker Spring Center for the Arts know that it's pretty much countywide. People come from all over the place. I think almost all of us have been there. And so I just wanted to know, was the agencies, I mean, did someone sit down with these agencies and ask them, or is it because it's a building improvement and it's going to be made on the building? How is the determination made?
Yeah, I have Damon here to answer that one.
Madam Chair, if you may, question. In terms of the example of this case, Walker Point Center for the Arts, their project was to do a construction project, I think, for ADA improvements. That project would be categorized under, that even though they do serve the entire county, the question is do they serve one low income people, and how do they document that? For Walker Point Center for the Arts, although they serve people from the entire county, and we could fund them, the question is, who do they serve? Are they low-income people from the entire county, or are they not? And talking to Walker Point Center for the Arts, I just think it's a question that they had that kind of documentation. Maybe they do, and we could include them, and maybe they could provide that. But because HUD now is requesting documentation and proof, I just didn't include them in this because I didn't think they would have that. So we just had to make a determination based on the past and some other criteria. But Milwaukee Sports and Arts, so any organization based in Milwaukee, well, the bar is higher. They have to show that they actually serve lower level income people. So that's why we put them in that category. It's a call we have to make.
But this is a perfect example, because this is why there was initially a suggestion that maybe we approve the ones that we know are eligible to be recommended, and Supervisor Lipscomb and I and our staff, Mr. Bowman, talked to the department and said, you know, if you do that, then you've spent 50, 60, 80% of the funds before you give a chance, the opportunity for the entities such as a Walker's Point that might be able to show that documentation. So we decided to hold up approving all of them until they get that chance, and that's what they're going to get, is to get notified. Because, I mean, at one point, Badger Home for the Blind, each entity that, because it lives, it's in the city of Milwaukee,
right.
A lot of their clients are city of Milwaukee people, but they serve the county. And so it's kind of a double whammy. It's not just that they have to prove that they're low and moderate income primarily serving it, but also primarily serving the suburban entities. So it's really a learning process, but it's a perfect example.
And it is now, sure, because Walker's Point Center for the Arts keeps the guest book right next to the door, and everybody who walks in signs in. So they definitely do document.
Oh, that's great.
Everybody who comes in the door is there. And so before I think there was a little bit of presumption that went into some of these ineligible projects, and so I'm glad to hear that that's going to be rectified, because I would hate to see some worthy projects. The other one that caught my attention was the Center for Driver's License Recovery and Employability from the Wisconsin Community Services. We all know Wisconsin Community Services is a statewide program, so therefore you would assume that they serve everyone in Milwaukee County. And so again, I would hate to see, willy-nilly, maybe I asked the wrong question or didn't ask the question at all, and now you're being placed in the ineligible category.
The other piece of this too is that the ending determinant, obviously, of what entities are awarded is the county board, and the staff are fully aware of that and very respectful of that process. And I think part of this is that learning curve hits with these agencies and working with the department as well. We may end up, in the next few months, having to redirect funds or whatever, because the other piece of this is, even for the entities that are currently assumed to be eligible or able to provide that documentation, the plan from the department, which I happen to think is very reasonable, is that before the funds are expended, they're going to have to document that they are eligible. Because if they spend the funds, we'll be back in the 2011 problem, where then in the end, either the county has to eat the funds, or we have to then tell them they don't get the money. So the bottom line, even the ones that are deemed eligible aren't quite off the hook yet, because they have to be able to document. And if for some reason that document is not available or is insufficient, this future committee in 2012 may have to go and realign things in order to be HUD compliant. Mr. Colon.
Thank you. Yes, Madam Chair and Supervisor West. That's why we really think it's important to have these informational meetings so that, like you said, if there's ineligible projects on that list, and after we have these discussions with them, and they can say, hey, I can provide you with this documentation, and through that communication we see that they may be eligible, we would let the committee know, and we would put them on the eligible list. But these informational sessions are really important to have a conversation with them on these requirements by HUD, because then they're going to have to provide us with the proof through that documentation.
And the other piece of this that I like, which I didn't realize you were going to suggest, and that's fine, I like the idea that kind of broadening a little bit of that review, or more of a formal working between the county board staff and your staff, and looking at them, because that way, if there's Mr. Boltman and maybe another county board staff person working with you to review these, three or four heads together are better than one or two in trying to figure out creative ways to make people eligible or to make sure that everyone's comfortable. And I think it will help if the department feels an entity that was previously eligible is no longer eligible, if county board research staff concurs with that. And if they disagree, then that could be worked out, hopefully behind the scenes, before it becomes a public issue. Any other questions?
Madam Chairman?
Mr. Boltman?
Yes, I just wanted to make clear that I was not involved with this review. It was just a tentative thing to give you some idea of the problems we're having with this. But if a project like the Walker Point Art Center, that is for handicap, there's no income limits on handicap things. So income limits are not required for accessibility things. And we will look at all these options as much as we can. It could be that we might be able to, in some cases, give a grant only for residents who are in the area, but that grant might still be small enough that it can be justified so if 20% of a community group is people in the suburban areas, then we can allocate our money possibly to serve those 20%. So I don't think it's quite as black and white as this. This is just an initial document, and the department's going to work with HUD and with with the county board to come up with the best thing we can.
I just want to say I appreciate both of your efforts on this. I know you're trying to be as flexible as possible, but still, bottom line, meet the HUD requirements so that Milwaukee County's not, in running afoul of the federal government and their funding. But I know that's your bottom line, but I do appreciate how much willingness both of you have shown to try and be as flexible as possible given the county's previous goals and philosophies with this program, as well as the fact that this is a transition time and that a lot of agencies will need to have to be worked with in order to help them be eligible. Thank you. All right. Item number two. Thank you, gentlemen.